Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get to Brian Cashman as we get a chance to talk to the Yankee general manager. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you. First, give me your update on Severino, and then we'll start there.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that, he had this episode where he couldn't finish his warm-up in the bullpen, and, on one pitch, I talked to Sebi directly, right after it happened, and there was no lead up to it. There was nothing that he had been feeling a little bit different over the course of the last few weeks. He'd been throwing extremely well with all pitches and looked primed and ready. And then on one pitch in his pre-game warm-up, he felt it. And then he threw one more and then shut it down, which was the smart thing to do. The MRI that we took is identical to the MRI that we did on the contract extension physical, which, showed nothing. So, but on the physical testing where, the orthopedic, contort your arm this way, that way to kind of determine what, muscle structure might be bothering him. And it was it's at the back end of his right shoulder, down the shoulder blade area, probably the supraspinatus area. And that's where he's got some tenderness and pain. So it's rotator cuff inflammation because that is part of that muscle structure. So we're optimistic that the MRI was, read the way it did, but we're pessimistic only because, he obviously couldn't pitch. So we're going to shut him down for 2 weeks. He got an injection today, and then we'll reevaluate him in 2 weeks, and the orthopedic will run him through, their routine to determine, how a patient responds to those, different exercise routines, I guess. And then if he comes through that without any issue and shows arm strength without resistance pain, then we'll get him on a throwing program. If it takes another week of rest or more, we're just in that unknown. So we're going to shut down for 2 weeks and reassess with the orthopedic. And if he clears that hurdle, then we can get him going. If he doesn't clear that hurdle, it'll be longer.
I always think 3 weeks for every 2 weeks you shut down, is that fair? So when you're talking about him being ready to come back, is that fair?
It's in that arena. At the end of the day, I did raise to our guys, we just have to get it right because, the normal protocols for injuries is, if they don't respond to your first efforts, whatever those efforts are and whatever the protocols are put in place, then it, you double the time frame the next time around. So, I was like, I don't want to look at a 4-week shutdown if after 2 weeks getting him going, get him back to this level, and then on one pitch, 4 weeks from now, he feels again. That's obviously not good. So we just got to kind of walk through this. But, again, there's optimism because the MRI was clean, and we have a recent MRI that we had just done to get the sign of the cross on an extension without any concerns or issues. But pitchers are tough. They're susceptible to injuries, and he's obviously, one of the better ones we feel in the game. And so it's, we just got to make sure that we try to do right by everybody, but medicine's an exact science. So we'll do what, they're trained to do and see, hopefully get a good positive result sooner than later. But we just have to have some patience and give other people opportunities now because of it.
And he didn't complain about anything last year. Otherwise, I'm sure you would have shut him down. I mean, when he fell off a little bit performance-wise late last year, his velocity was still up pretty high. So I don't think he had any issues, right?
No, I mean, we feel last year was really mostly, directed at his pitch tipping issues that we could, verify. And then, importing guys like Carlos Beltran, who's now part of our staff, who's extremely adept at that, or the opposing teams, after you're done with them and done for the season with them, we all have relationships in the game. Like, hey, man, he's tipping. And we're like, we know, and we could see it, try to correct it, deal with it. But sometimes it pops up, in game when that blood is pumping and the competitive environment happens, you revert back to some bad habits. So we think that really had more to do with everything than anything else. But, he had no complaints. And so sometimes when the storm's coming, you don't see it coming. But again, hopefully, with the time frame and with the you know, the cortisone injection, and then he'll go on, you know, oral anti-inflammatory medication. Hopefully all of that will allow it to resolve, and it's hopefully we can put it back in the desk drawer later on and forget that it ever happened. Or, you know, if he doesn't resolve, and you know, we'll have to deal with something that maybe is bigger that's not necessarily showing up on testing. But, you know, you know how this stuff works. I don't want to undersell it or overpromise.
Right.
And we're just kind of in that gray area of let's give him the time and hopefully it resolves properly and it's not an issue. But until it's not an issue, it's an issue.
All right, what happens now? You're going to fill it internally? You're going to go outside the organization at all? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think, it's a complicated process because we got to just factor in a few different things. We have CC serving a 5-game suspension to start the season. And then, and more likely than not, regardless, I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season just because he had setback from that heart condition right. that he thankfully resolved in a good, healthy way. And so we're going to have two spots to deal with opening the year, potentially two spots. We have off days so we can manipulate
right.
things so if we need to. And then and so right now, Herman and Lois, I got to get it right because I'm used to saying Loisaga. Loisaga.
Loisaga, that's it. I get it wrong half the time anyway, so Loisaga is it.
It's easier if I call him J-Lo.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
Those guys are throwing well. Seth is throwing well. So two of those three guys, as long as everything stays online, you know, I feel very comfortable with these, especially Loisaga and Herman. Those guys, you know, ceilings and upsides as starters, I think, are pretty exciting from our perspective. And Loisaga, even though if you look at his line today, it won't look as good, but you know, he got some damage done in his third inning, which is you know towards the end of his 50-pitch count today. But his stuff it might be the best stuff in camp. So watching him and evaluating his game today was pretty exciting. He's got electric stuff, so I'd feel very comfortable if the guy that we see today or Herman, the way they've been throwing and the way they're
right.
capable of throwing, if we had to plug and play with those guys, I'm good. So
Herman's got good stuff. There's no question.
Yeah. No, they do. They do. So, but again, you know, they'll get opportunities, and anybody else wants to push them away in the mix, I'd say we're staying within. I mean, we're always open to.
Where's the lefty from last year? Where's Montgomery? Is he healthy?
No, he's just he's going through his Tommy John rehab, and he's not a player for his roster probably
not
until
yet.
August.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be until August. You know, I think he went down probably June, and a lot of.
So he's not available until the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'd say late second half.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But you know, it's nice to know he might be there in August and September, but there's no guarantees. But you know, he should be in line to potentially be a back and throwing competitive innings, whether it's with us or AAA Scranton or whatever, sometime in the second half.
So you'll fill with those guys rather than nibble outside the organization as you break camp.
I'm open to nibbling, but I'm more realistic that you know everything that we're going to rely upon has to be right now here.
Okay, that makes sense. And the other pitches, everybody's on schedule and everything's okay?
Yeah, so far everybody's, you know, Larry Rothschild, who's running the pitching program, obviously is bringing some guys out, like Chapman went today for the second time. So he's had some guys strategically starting a little later, whether it's Dylan, who had one inning the other day, and Chappie just now. And so he's bringing certain guys out a little later than some of the other guys. But everybody's progressing well. And until yesterday with the unfortunate news with Seve, we've had a great camp. It's been great weather. We've had terrific performance.
Very warm.
Yeah, terrific performance, health. Our team, you know, we like what we see and,
right.
and how they're going about their business and the health of those guys. And then obviously, of course, the lightning strike with Seve yesterday hits and yeah, makes you change your whole demeanor where, you know, you got to remind yourself that, you know, there's game changers that can happen around our camp or any camp at all times. So you just kind of brace yourself whenever it can hit. But again, it creates an opportunity for somebody else. It will force us to learn about somebody else, and you know, rather than having it happen organically. So when the dust settles, we just need to get Seve back over time. And in the meantime, somebody else will get some workload.
So Herman, Loisaga, and Cesar will be the guys who fill in right now as the Yankees get ready to start the season.
That's the game plan.
All right. Ellsbury's coming to camp 16th, 17th. What's his status?
Finishing off, I mean, unfortunately, when he came back from his hip surgery, you know, the cascade of, you know, the of rehabbing of that, he had a little bit of a plantar fasciitis kick up, so it kind of halted his process that we expected him to be ready by camp, so it pushed him back So once our camp started, he was just on an Alter G. He wasn't fully running on flat ground yet without, you know, resistance. And so, but now he's running on flat ground. He's progressing nicely, we hope. I, you know, say that, you know, carefully. And so we project to have him here on the 16th or 17th, and we'll assess where he's at and how far away he is from game activity. He'll start the season on the DL just because there won't be enough time to get him ready in the proper way. But right now the arrows are pointing in the right direction that, you know, sometime, whether it's late April, mid-April, early May, he would be ready to go. Those are all guesstimates based on, we'll get a better feel for where he's at and how far away he is from game action and essentially a spring training that he's been denied so far. So, you know, we'll get a better feel for that once he gets here that week.
And the one thing about Hicks is, and you've been a big Hicks guy from day one. I mean, from the day you got him, you've been on his, and you've been right about him. You have. I mean, you really were very much in his camp. You went and got him, first of all. Secondly, you know, you've been very much in his corner. He has made you look good, but he always has those nagging injuries. Now he's got another one. Are you concerned about what he's going through right now?
I mean, I don't want to say no. There's no reason for me to be concerned, but obviously whenever things play out longer, so it's one of those things where if you, in real time, I know, I think it was Ken Davidoff from the New York Post asked me, you know, 48 hours into it, hey, you worried about Hicks? I'm like, no, not worried at all. He's like, any exams? I'm like, no. And that's a response to the player and our training staff about, you know, hey, he's just down for a day or two, a little back stiffness. And next thing you know, that, you know, you pass through the weekend and now Monday on the off day hits and I get a call from my trainer, listen, he's still bothered by it, we're going to check this with an MRI. So now all of a sudden there was no plans of a test, there was no concern, and all of a sudden it drags out 3 or 4 days. So you're doing a test, thankfully that was clean and negative, nothing to be concerned about. But the bottom line is he's still, you know, he's been dealing with a little bit back a tweak of the back and stiffness for it feels like a week now. So at least time of year, it's cool. I'd make sure that our player, our staff, they all know, hey, you know, just give him the time. If he takes another week, then if he needs a week away from games further, so be it. You know, so it's, I'm not worried about it because I only react when more of the experts in that field tell me, but I'm also been around the block long enough to know that if this stuff lingers, you know, I don't want to downplay things either, but as of right now, it's in the I don't worry category because that's what all the input is I'm getting from everybody involved, but he's not on the field yet or not returning to the field yet. But I think there's some optimism that maybe tomorrow we'll get him to start swinging the bat a little bit and throw a little bit and see how he responds. And it's possible you see him in a game this weekend, but it's also possible you won't. So just we'll see how, you know, we'll react to him.
We're talking with Brian Cashman. Cash, your first basemen are both hitting, including Bird. Tulowitzki's looked very good at short. So, I mean, it sounds good. Andujar's got his deal. You got, obviously, a wonderful kid at second base. How does LeMahieu fit into all this stuff? I mean, you know, it seems like he almost has to force his way into action now, huh? I mean, like right now, I mean, I don't know if somebody can get hurt. We understand that. You got to have depth. But right now, what do you see his role being?
Well, I mean, he's going to play. He's going to get action at first, second, and third. I think there was, you know, questions from personnel within, you know, the game of, hey, you've got this second baseman and you're gonna play him around the diamond when he's been primarily a Gold Glove second baseman, but we felt our pro assessments on him were that he's athletic enough. And then Jim Hendry, who was the Cubs GM who actually traded him to Colorado back in the day, I think, he knew DJ very well. You know what? That might have been Theo's deal. But Jim had DJ, I think it was part of his draft at LSU and everything else like that. So he really knows the player well. He's like, Cash, he can play third easy. He can play first. His guy's a big second baseman, but very athletic. And so far, we've seen that play out, you know, once we place that bet. So going to your first base situation, my gut is, although I'm not calling it right now, my gut is we're not carrying both Bird and Voit on the club.
That was going to be my next question. So you think it looks with LeMahieu, and if he's going to get time there, and you got Voit, who looks like he's hitting like he's an everyday player, is it going to be hard for Bird to make this team?
Well, I don't know about Bird or Voit. I just think, you know, they both have options. It doesn't mean what I'm saying right now is gospel because it depends how this roster shakes out and everything else like that. But I think going into spring training, we're like, may the best person win
right
at first base. But I don't think there was a thought process of carrying both because I'm not sure if the at-bats are there for the party line of having all participants, including LeMahieu.
You see Voit as an everyday player, Cash?
Both. I mean, I you know, we were we placed a bet on him in a trade last summer that he, you know, more than proved, you know.
No question. Hey, it was a home run for you. No question.
He did an amazing job and earned the right to hit in the postseason in the middle of our lineup. It was an incredible story and good for him. And I love the passion and the personality and all that stuff. And so there's no reason to think, including what we've seen so far this spring,
right,
that he's not an everyday
swing
guy.
He's
hitting so, but at the same time, we've always, as you know, believed in Bird. We feel like we haven't had a chance to see the real Bird yet because of injuries. And I can tell you, this spring, like last year, he came in. He was a lot leaner, but he put weight back on. He's a good 25 pounds stronger, and he looks like the potential Bird that we've always believed. You know, again, people probably forget, turning the clock back, that he was the most celebrated accomplished hitter in our system. More so, if you'd ask me who's our best hitter, it was going to come down to between Gary Sanchez and the Bird,
right,
throughout the system with all those young guys coming through. And then people kind of forget right now because Bird hasn't been Bird because of, we think, injuries. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a hell of a competition. They're fighting it out right now. I believe, my gut is, only one will be on, but it doesn't mean I'm right there. It means you know, we have time to play this thing out. But with DJ and at least one of those two guys, I think that's probably the way we play it. But we haven't had any team meetings on it. It's premature, and I'm probably just
how many days a week you expect Tulowitzki to play short? Five?
Those are things we're kicking around with a lot of player involvement. So we want to make sure we protect him, cover him, recognize that it's been almost 2 years of lack of playing. He's really worked his tail off to put himself back in a position to now be physically healthy after those multiple surgeries on both heels. So I think Booney and our medical staff, training, strength and conditioning, and performance science team have put together a pretty good game plan, and I think they'll structure the April game plan to see how he gets through the spring March game plan. So there's nothing set in stone just yet, but we're
You're not going to push him.
Oh, no, we're definitely not going to push him, and that's why the DJ
LeMahieu will
so
play
good.
Short, right?
No, Glaber will play short.
Oh, okay. You'll move on those days. Yeah. Torres will go over to. I didn't think you were going to move him, so he's going to go over and play short those days.
Yeah, you know, Torres is a natural shortstop.
Okay.
That, you know, obviously he's still developing as a finished defensive product at second.
You know, last time you came on, you said you didn't really want to move him back and forth.
We talked about wrestling, whether that was something we should or shouldn't do. We were having a lot of dialogue about what we should do. So obviously now with DJ LeMahieu here, who's a
so you want to play him at second. So you will move the kid back and forth. Okay,
correct.
Okay, all right. It makes sense. I just wondered if, because last time you said you didn't really want to do that. You've changed. Did something change your mind? Did he look better at short than you thought he would?
No, you'd have to go back to the audio tapes or what have you,
right.
But it definitely was a discussion. I don't think I was saying I'd not want to do it. It was one of the many things being discussed. Do you want?
Well, you said you thought he was a better second baseman.
It depends on who you talk to.
I
think that Glaber, his best position is second. And the question comes down, actually, I think what we're talking about now is what's best for the New York Yankees in 2019. Is it if we did not sign Troy Tulowitzki, and we went with Glaber at short until Didi came back.
Every day, right.
Then you're moving, for the stretch drive pennant race, you're moving Glaber Torres back to second base to finish off a position he's still learning and developing at in second. And I was like, is that the best position or a situation for us to play in? Or finish him off at second base? We have a lot of people here think, all right, you know what, he's not a finished product, he plays better, and he looks more athletic at short than he does at second because he's still developing his instincts over there. So leave him at second base as much as you can.
Does he have a preference?
I personally have not asked him that question, so I'm sure our staff, our field staff has. I haven't asked him that. The only thing I've really asked him about, you know, is he's coming from Venezuela, so you ask him a lot about how his family is doing down there with everything that's going on down there.
I just wondered if he preferred one to the other, that's all.
Yeah, I would suspect, like any of these guys, he came up at shortstop. It's his preference. But he's happy to be in the big leagues, and obviously, and that's his first goal. But I think if it's his druthers, I think his answer would be.
Well, now I see where LeMahieu is going to get his time. He's going to get his time at second base, and Glaber's going to play shortstop. Which now so now that makes a lot more sense to me, because I was looking at it saying, wow, if Torres is going to play second every day, I don't know how LeMahieu is going to get that much time, especially if Voit gets out of the box hot.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, DJ, when we signed him, one of the there was so much competition on DJ by a lot of teams, you know, that essentially we committed to getting him every day at bats in a versatile role, even though we signed a second baseman that's normally playing second, but we felt because of his athleticism and stuff. And so one of the reasons why he came here was because, obviously, we're assessed at least on paper as a team that has a chance to compete for a championship. That's one, and that's important to him. And number two, you know, he also felt personally that if the investment's the right investment, which I'm sure he signed the best deal that he was offered, because typically that's how free agency works out, that he was willing to go for the money and buy in the versatility. And but he's been great. I tell you what, a pro. He's very quiet. He's not a very vocal person. But, you know, the one thing that's resonating throughout our clubhouse is he's a gamer, and he's such a pro about how he goes about his business. So he's tucked away really well in this clubhouse mix, and people are really getting a joy to have him as a teammate, which is, you know, a plus for us too.
What do you feel about the outfield right now as to how much Gaudy will play and how you work the other guys into the outfield? Other than I'm leaving Judge alone every day in right field, the other two spots, especially if Hicks needs some time off, how do you see Gaudy's role this year?
Well, I think Gaudy will, you know, get at least out of the gates, you know, a lot of the reps there. You know, ultimately, the one thing I've talked to Booney about, and we talked about it last year too, is I think there's a benefit if, you know, if he plays, gives Judge a little bit more time at the DH spot than he maybe had last year. So I think utilizing Stanton and Wright, using like, and Judge and playing off each other with the DH spot, and also using Stanton and left. He was deployed out there, you know, I don't know, it was yesterday or just recently. So you're going to see some options there. So if we have a left-handed starter getting, you know, lining up against us, you know, you can wind up seeing a whole bunch, you know, DJ LeMayo playing third. You can see, you know, what's his name? Maybe it's Luke Voit as the DH, or Andujar as the DH. You know, gotcha. You can move around a lot of different things and get Stanton in left field to deploy a massive right-handed lineup that can demolish on paper, in theory, a left-handed starter. So I'd like to see a little bit more balance between the DH with Stanton and Judge. Only my opinion on that, they're big guys that would benefit as competitors. They both want to be out in the field, but Stanton, when he came over here, his attitude was like, I will do whatever it is. I just want to be with the Yankees. And even though he's the National League MVP, he's like, I'll come in here, I'll play DH, I'll play left, I'll stand on my head, whatever you guys want. And that's exactly how he played out, and it did. So you know, the DH spot can still be utilized. I think we're athletic enough to utilize the benefit for guys giving a partial blow, even though they're playing still. And Booney will, you know, have that at his discretion to use however he sees fit.
And you consider it, would it be, in your mind, a long shot to have both Voit and Bird on the opening day roster? Do we think that'll be a surprise if that's the case?
I think it's not optimal. Given the combination of all pieces involved, it doesn't mean it can't happen. It doesn't mean it won't happen. I just don't know if it's optimal. So that's how we're going to have to wait and see how the rest of this camp shakes out. Obviously, we've already had an injury to our rotation. How's that cascade into? Does that make us have an interest in carrying another pitcher more than we would want as we navigate the early portion of the season of waiting for CC to be ready, waiting for, obviously, Sevity return? You know, how do we handle all this stuff? These are the things we have to discuss still as we move forward and into camp. But I think on paper, it's not optimal to have, both first basemen on the club. But again, it doesn't mean it won't happen.
All right, two things that were issues last year, and let's see how they've done so far in camp. Andujar's defense. What would you say about that so far this year?
So far, so good. He looks improved. I know Mendy and Booney spent a lot of time, including traveling to the Dominican Republic. He's very committed, wants to be better, he's hungry, and he's athletic. So far, so good. It's early. We haven't played a lot of games, so therefore, you know, it's a handful of games, and therefore it's only a handful of opportunities even hit his way in the games he's played and the limited defensive innings he's had. But so far in the pregame work and the practice work and then the opportunities in games, it does look better. But I just preface it by saying, hey,
gotcha.
It's still early.
All right, but you feel confident he can make strides at third base defensively?
No question. The one thing I've learned over time is, and you see him even with people that were far less athletic ability than he has, if there's a commitment and a desire and a work ethic, makeup-wise, towards improving something, then that's more than half the battle. It doesn't mean it's, you know, an automatic, but you know, those people with a high character and commitment, and he's always had that. He's always been someone that people have always recognized with a high character, work ethic, loves the game, has passion for the game, wants to be great. Those are the ones that typically do find a way to, you know, shore up any deficiencies in their game and max out at their potential. It's the other ones that really are, you know, they're gifted, they were born with a gift, but they don't necessarily invest in honing that gift. They're not committed both, you know, on and off the field to being the best they can possibly be. Those are the ones that don't max to their abilities, and they're usually the frustrating ones that don't, you know, reach their ceilings, that leave fans and front offices and scouts and managers and coaches all frustrated. I feel Miggy's on the positive end of that spectrum, where he's someone that has a chance to max out and really shore up whatever weaknesses he has. He just got to give him time.
And how about Sanchez?
Been good. He looks good. He's in great shape. I think he has a chip on his shoulder, just like Tulo. He wants to prove that last year, in Sanchez's case, was an aberration. And I'm excited. I think he's one of the better catchers in the game. And I think, God willing, I'll have a chance to prove that this year.
And as you mentioned, the schedule, is it kind of more of a 50-50 feel for Tulo, or can it be more than that based on April, or are you going to really be very conservative with him early on in the season?
I think we're gonna do what we can. I don't have an answer to that question yet, but I do know this. I do feel that we're fortunate that he picked us. We had a lot of competition. I think the industry, you know, really responded to his workout, tryout, whatever you want to call it, when he got released with a little bit of a surprise of how good he looked, and then we had the follow up workout. A lot of skepticism, I think, from everybody involved, fans and opposing, you know, in media and stuff, questioning, like, hey, is it the right play? So far, he has somewhat demonstrated without question that, you know, wow, there might be something really here. And if there is, even if he approaches, you know, a half of what he was with
Colorado.
No,
he was a great player. He was a great player.
We'll take that. We just need someone that, for the most part, between him and then obviously Torres on the days he doesn't play, we just need all those guys, you know, Tulo and Gleyber on the days that that we need in the next 3 months, say, if not four, because we're waiting for Didi to come back. We just need them to hold fort. And so managing the off days and the downtime for Tulo is obviously is going to be something that we're going to be careful about, but we're going to feel comfortable without question, you know, committing the time and feeling like we're going to get a positive result by whenever he's out on that field, both defensively, because he's made some great plays, and then offensively, which he's swinging the bat well. And I'll tell you what, as a leader in the clubhouse, he's come right in here. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to, you know, put his arm around, whether it's Torres at second or Andujar at third, and really invest. I mean, it's also, you know, this guy's a baseball rat. So I remember one day during the practice season, now we're in the games, but in the practice part of the season of the spring training, you know, we get here at, say, 7:30 a.m. in the morning and stuff, and players usually get their work in. They're out of here by 1 at the latest, 12:30, what have you. I remember I was leaving around 4:30, and Tulo was still in uniform. You know, and I hadn't seen that much, if at all. I can't remember the last time I've ever seen that. I'm like, dude, you're still here? And I've heard that about him, that he just is crazy about this sport in a way most people aren't. So, you know, if that commitment, that passion is going to serve him well, because for someone he's been had because of the injuries and the limitations because of those injuries has denied him playing the game he loves, he's hopefully back with a vengeance. And, you know, hopefully it's going to be to our benefit.
You don't miss much of what's said. I'm sure you saw Sonny Gray's comments. Any thoughts?
No, I mean, listen, he's in a new environment, reinventing himself. You know, he struggled here in the year and a half. It just didn't work out for him or for us. It's a very frustrating circumstance why we were dealing with it. And so, honestly, got really nothing to say, you know, other than wish him the best of luck. And all we did here, which we do for all our players, which I think any organization does for their players, is try to give them the tools necessary to succeed. And it just didn't work out for whatever reason. He might have his perspectives. We have our perspectives. But the one that's not going to change is, I think we both agreed that the change of scenery was in all parties' best interests. I use that Greek mythological story of Sisyphus pushing that rock up the mountain, and it keeps rolling back on top of you. I'm not going to be Sisyphus. I'm going to pivot and change, and we're happy with the deal we did, and I think the Reds are going to be happy with the starter they're going to get. He's got new life. That's the great thing about sports and baseball especially, is every year is a new year. You can change the narrative, and so he has a chance to change the narrative by performing. And if he doesn't, it's not going to change, but if he does, and you know, a whole new outlook, a whole new uniform, spring training in Arizona, playing in the National League, you know, new oxygen, you know, I guarantee he probably reverts back to the pitcher that we thought we were getting in Oakland, and you know, all the equipment's there. So I don't really have anything to say other than best of luck. And the Reds won that investment effort. I had a lot of teams talking to me about them, and they stepped up the most. So it took a while for us to find the deal we were comfortable enough doing, and we did it. So no hard feelings other than the fact that I'm sorry it didn't work out for any of us.
All right, thanks, Cass, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, we're coming to you live from Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Will come back and review what we just heard right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.